is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church. Coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, dear friends, we're going to continue with our series. This is going to be part two of the two Jerusalems. The two Jerusalems. I've written a number of letters recently to pastors and other Christian leaders, trying to get them out of false doctrines. A lot of people say, oh, you're just wasting your time, Tex. But, you know, I always feel that duty is mine and consequences are God's. So I don't think I'm wasting my time just trying to be a good witness for Jesus Christ. We work steadily here, okay? Now, if you'd like to communicate with us, maybe you'd like to become a member of our congregation at large, all you have to do is write to us here at Bible Home Church. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, we would love to have your financial support as well. But as a minimum, well, how about just praying for us? You know, that means more than money. There's more than one way to support this ministry, you see. Maybe you can do both. On the other hand, maybe you need prayer for yourself or your loved ones. We'd love to hear from you. And we're not going to tie that with money now. If you want to give love gifts and tithes to this worldwide ministry, we don't do things for you because you give. But separate from that, you may indeed have a need that we pray for you. And my dear friends, that is an honor and a privilege to allow us to do that. But I need to know about it. And you may want to write me a letter, okay, and just tell me. Now, again, you know, if you send a love gift with it, I'm not going to pray any harder than if you don't send a love gift. I must warn you now about that. We love your support, and we need your support, but we don't tie it with how much we pray for people, okay? Because we're going to pray for you because of your needs. And when you write that letter already, I believe you're putting your request toward God, because that is in the form of a petition. Your heart is reaching out to God in the very writing of your letter. And then, of course, when we get the letter and we read it, God, He can read my mind, I'll tell you that. I've been pretty surprised about that over the years, how God can read my mind. And then we will pray openly for you. And I'll certainly pray myself a personal prayer for you. Every letter, every prayer request comes in here. And we don't get so much mail that I can't pray for everybody that asks for it. And I'm glad to do it. And as I've said before, God answers prayers. He answers my prayers. And I ask for you to pray for me and for Bible Home Church as well. Now, we're going to have some wonderful music today. We have the great, great Southern Gospel group. I always wonder why they call it Southern Gospel. Just gospel, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe some of the people came from down south back in the old Bible Belt days, you know, went from church to church, made the circuit, so to speak, like the old-time evangelist. Actually, many of the so-called Southern Gospel singers come from Pennsylvania and Ohio. And, well, you know, Wanda, my precious wife's brother, we played some of his songs. He used to have a group called the Desert Airs, and they sang Christian songs too. And my goodness, he was from Taft, California. So you just never know where these Southerners come from, do you? Well, I think that's interesting. Well, Southern gospel. Anyway, it's just good old gospel music, and I love it. And, you know, a lot of people say, what kind of music do you like best? This is probably it, this kind of gospel music. Although I like the very old hymns. I love the the wonderful tunes that are really not in the Southern Gospel. Some songs sung by Dottie Rambo and Janet Paschal and others like that. The Easter Girl, I call her. Her name is Easter. She's not the Easter Girl. Karen Easter is her name, I think. Sherry Easter. Oh, yeah. Excuse me, Sherry. And Sherry Easter. She has a beautiful song about roses. But there are so many out there, beautiful songs. Some say, which songs do I dislike? You know, friends, I believe the Holy Ghost will inform you of what is God's music and what isn't. There's some music I listen to, I just know it's not God's music. Well, how do you know, Tex? I know, because I have the Holy Ghost within me. And I know the Holy Ghost is grieved when I listen to that kind of music. Sort of reminds me of the Supreme Court judge a long time ago. They had a case up about obscenity before the Supreme Court. And they asked this judge, I believe it was Judge Brennan, well, how do you judge whether a magazine, say, is obscene? What are your guidelines? He said, well, I know it when I see it. I know it when I see it. Well, some people say, well, now that's pretty dumb. So his standards are going to be our standards. No, friends, these are not Tex Moore standards. They're God's standards. And if you're of Jesus Christ, then you will know of his standards. He has the law written on your heart. You're going to know. You're going to know. That's why I'm so shocked that so many Christians are into heavy metal, rock music, hip-hop, bar songs is what I call them, just horrible music. And by the way, there's some country music like that too. There's some Southern-style songs that are evil. Talk about drinking and divorce and affairs and so forth. They're just as evil. You know, some say, oh, you just don't like rock music. Well, I probably don't. But that has nothing to do with whether, you know, it's of God or not. I know it's not, but I listen to country songs, and some of them are not. I turn them off. I don't want to listen to that trash. And by the way, there's instrumental music that's evil. A lot of people don't know that. Oh, yes. The devil has a lot of instrumental music. Some years ago, I did an audio tape exposing New Age music. What evil can it be of? It's just instrumental music. Yeah, well, friends, there is evil instrumental music. And music is powerful. Some say, well, how can music hurt you if the lyrics are okay? I tell you, friends, listen to me. Godly music can drive out devils. I recommend that Christians play godly music in their homes. You say, oh, well, now they'll enjoy it, Tex, but what do you mean it'll drive out devils? That's pretty preposterous. Oh, no. No. No, don't you remember? It says in the Old Testament that King Saul was demon-possessed. Yes, he had devils. And he was miserable. I bet you'd be miserable, too, if you realized you had devils inside you. And he called for young David to play his harp for him. And David played some heavenly music. I don't know where the music came from. You know, we really don't know, but it's instrumental, isn't it? That harp music? And it says that when David, it says in the Bible, when David played that heavenly music on his harp, evidently God had given him the composition. God had given him the talent. He played that heavenly music, instrumental only, and the devils fled. Ooh. And on the other hand, you can go to countries like Haiti, the Caribbean nations in Africa. They have drums and they have certain kinds of music. I'm not saying all drums are bad, but certainly they have the staccato rhythm. And guess what? It invites devils into them. You can invoke devils to enter you through music, even instrumentals, or you can drive them out. Oh, the power of music. Here are the cathedrals. I think you'll enjoy this. Sandra, what's the name of this tune today? The Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And then we'll begin with part two of the two Jerusalems. You're listening to Bible Home Church. I'm Pastor Tex Mars.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the Master's grace of Jesus, deeper than the man you own see. Power of the man for when I the thoughts of sufficient for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, shame. Greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by his transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the Master's grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Our unmerciful grace, the all-sufficient for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus. Magnify his holy name.
Well, today we're going to get into prophecy in a big way. And I am convinced that today this message, the information we present to you, and especially from the prophetic word of God and how it bears on your life today, and really the destiny of the whole world. I want you to understand something. This has tremendous significance. Oh my goodness, does it ever have significance? And it has significance because it really reveals what's going to happen, who and who you are. What is your destiny? Your destiny, friends, listen to me very carefully. Who you are, your heritage, your destiny, your glory, or maybe your pitiful lack of glory. Could be that too, if you don't belong to the right group. That's right. Today we're going to show that God is biased. God is biased. He chooses a certain group of people to be his elect. And he makes them into his living stones. Now, I can't take a bunch of people, string them up, make a necklace or a bracelet or something beautiful out of them. But God knows how to do it. I don't know how he does it. But that's why he's God, and I'm just a follower of his. But I want you to understand that God has chosen some people out there. I know I'm one of them, but just one. Maybe you're one too, to be his jewels, to be his living stones. And anyone, oh, get this, anyone who, as we used to say down in East Texas, messes with His jewels? Well, now that's the crown jewels. Listen to me. They're in big trouble. I mean, he'll cut them to pieces. But you've got to make sure you are his living stones. And he's got a special purpose for you. And the devil is trying to hide and conceal that goal, that purpose, the meaning, the very meaning of your life. Today we're going to talk about really the clash of two great civilizations. And really it's going to be a tale like the old Charles Dickens famous books, A Tale of Two Cities. Both of them are named Jerusalem. That's right. There are two cities named Jerusalem. You know, not too many years ago, a person was visiting a neighbor of mine, and I said, "Where are you from?" And the couple said, "We're from Austin." And they laughed real big. Well, I knew they were from out of state. And in fact, the neighbor had told me they were going to be visiting, and I just laughed too. I said, "Oh, have y'all lived here before?" They said, "No, we're from Austin, Minnesota." I went, "Oh, okay. Well, I live here in Austin, Texas." And I wanted to know, well, what's Austin, Minnesota like? They said, "Oh, it's far different than Austin, Texas." And they told me all the differences. It was very much smaller. It was this, it was that. In the winter, it got a lot colder. And, but there were, you know, advantages and disadvantages. They claimed, "Listen to me, I want to tell you something. There are two Jerusalems. And you could be deceived into becoming a resident and even worshiping the wrong Jerusalem. Although we shouldn't worship anything or anyone but God. You could be worshiping as an idol and proclaiming to be a citizen of a city that's the wrong city." How would you feel driving or going a long distance, taking a long journey, and then discovering all along you haven't followed the map right? The map told you, the Holy Bible tells you exactly how to get there, but you didn't listen to the guide, the Holy Guide. He told you the directions, and he gave you the map, but you took your own direction, you took your own way, you didn't watch the road signs. And you ended up in a totally different city, but it has the same name. Oh, I don't mean to confuse you, but you have got to listen to today's program. Now, first of all, I want you to understand that I love the idea of Jerusalem. And I'm talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. You see, there is an earthly Jerusalem. That's a city in the Middle East. Has quite a long history. And I'm not going to get into the whole history of it, but we'll tell you a few things that have happened to it. But in addition to the earthly Jerusalem, and it's, you know, they are making it now the capital of Israel, although it has been split up. I don't want to get into all of that. And the Palestinians are fighting over it, and they've got the Temple Mount there, and the Jews want to rebuild their temple, but the Muslims say that they're going to keep their mosque and their dome and all that. Hey, I don't want to get into that. We'll talk about that some other time. What I want you to understand and make clear is that there are two Jerusalems, and it seems like the whole evangelical Christian world has got the two Jerusalems confused. That's why we've got to go to the Bible. Because people's souls, yes, their souls are in jeopardy simply because of a misunderstanding. They don't know where they're headed, which Jerusalem they're going to. Well, listen to this. I like the Jerusalem that's pictured in the Bible. Hebrews 11 verse 10 talks about Abraham who looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Friends, the foundation, you know, we're told in the New Testament, you can't build on any other foundation than Jesus Christ. That's the only foundation. And Abraham looked for a city which had a foundation whose builder and maker is God. And listen to the best part. I like this. Oh my goodness. I want to cry when I read this. Revelation 21 verses 9 through 10 tells you what city is this heavenly Jerusalem whose builder and maker is God, whose foundation is Jesus Christ. And then laid on that foundation, of course, are the apostles. And then those living stones, the jewels of God, of Christ that I told you about. But listen to this in Revelation. John was told, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The bride of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Who is that? Are you a member of the bride? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you redeemed? Are you saved? Are you born again? John chapter 3, verse 3. Then you're the redeemed. You're the bride of the Lamb of God, who was slain for your sins. Now listen to me. Who is that bride? Who is the Lamb's wife? Let me continue with this. It says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Who is the bride of the Lamb? It's the church. It's the elect. It's the chosen of God. It's the holy Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. Friends, if you know Jesus, you are a component of the new Jerusalem. Must be a pillar there holding up something or other that's great with your name on it. And we could talk about that. There is a foundation that has you in it somewhere there. But listen to me. Don't you understand something? Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. He didn't take him to Israel in the Middle East. And that city that had been destroyed, even the great temple there, every stone had been thrown down by Titus, the Roman general who later became Caesar, in 70 AD. They destroyed that city. Oh, it's been rebuilt now, but even the temple hasn't been rebuilt. But many parts of the city have been rebuilt, and more people move there, and there's strife and struggle going on. Hey, I told you, don't worry about that city for right now. That's the earthly city. The city that John was shown, the Apostle John was shown, and is recorded in the book of Revelation, is the new Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem. That city in the Middle East is not the holy Jerusalem. This is. Now later we're going to get into a description. You see, now we're talking about the new holy Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is a picture of God's redeemed people. And Jesus is right there in their midst. Can you believe that? You are part of new, holy, heavenly Jerusalem. Now, if you want to stay with the wicked, earthly Jerusalem, that's okay. That's your choice. We'll talk about that a little bit. I pray that you don't do it, but some do. Now, that is the image and the picture and the truth about the heavenly Jerusalem. More on it later. But listen, there are people out there that don't want to accept that, and they get all wrought up in the earthly Jerusalem. They care about the things of this world, and they want to protect and preserve and uphold and build a great kingdom on this planet Earth. And they want to make the city of Jerusalem the capital city of the whole world. And they believe the earthly Jerusalem is where Jesus is going to reign and his saints. Very odd belief. It just says in the Bible here, I just showed you that the true city of God, the holy Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, is going to descend down from heaven. But there are many who say, I don't want that city. I want that city over in the Middle East. The one that Ariel Sharon sits. The one that, then you know what God's going to say to you? Fine. You know, I don't know where, you know, metaphorically, allegorically, whatever you want to call it, the heavenly city of God is going to sit down on this planet, if it is going to be exactly like that. But it might just sit right down on top of the old Jerusalem and destroy it. Have you ever thought of that? The old earthly Jerusalem may not even be here. In fact, there's going to be a lot of hell to pay and some horrors going on there. It's going to be a bloody city. You want to be there? Okay. Maybe God can arrange that for you. And people trouble themselves. The Muslims say, I want that city. I want that earth. I want those things there. And you know what? the Jews are saying, no, I want it, I want it. And hundreds of years ago, the Crusaders were sent by the Pope, and they were sent to kill and to ravage until they could grab hold of it. So you had three great religions of the earth fighting over some earthly piece of junk. God could make a million more cities just like it. But they said, oh, this is the holy city. This is the wonderful place. It's ours. And they fought over it. Listen to what Zechariah said, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord stated, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.